It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
And welcome into the studio, graced with Carl Bloom, the kingpin. This is Wisdom on Replay, and it's Nostra Thomas and Coach James Divine.
Every week it's a new interpretation.
JD next week,
there you
I
go,
think.
Every week. We'll get the Irish, we'll get the Italian, we'll get it all.
It's been a while since we got in the studio.
James,
here.
You went with the formal.
And I
when I get called to court, that's how they usually, you know, the James thing. So we're good there.
If you haven't noticed, my voice is a little strained because I've been screaming and yelling from the basement of a hot water tank and a furnace problem.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am here to tell you, okay, after 40 years of friendship, you always find new and interesting things about your friends. What I found out with my friend Tom is if it's anything mechanical, don't let him go near it. It's not that he
can't fix it.
It's not that he's not competent. There's those people. You hear about those people that like positive and negative ions with metal? Tom is that guy with anything mechanical.
I'll make it way worse.
Okay? And like I said, I love him. He's my dude. Calls me, Jim, do you got a guy? We had a whole army of people within the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's been amazing. 2 or 3 weeks.
We've had an army of people in and out.
We could have built a mall complex for the amount of people that we had running around.
I tell you what, I told my son who lives over there in that mother-in-law suite, I could have sent them to Florida for the winter.
Florida.
And what I have in Cuba. On this thing.
You could have sent them to Cuba for the amount of time and effort. Yeah. God bless you. You're so determined. And we've called, but like I said, it's working its way out.
I got shocked. I yelled. I know that's a shocker right there.
He called me the one day and screaming. He was yelling at something. I go, what are you yelling at? He goes, I'm not yelling at any. He goes, I'm not yelling at anybody. I'm yelling at this.
Not particularly anybody, but.
It was a furnace. It was a water heater. When they go, they all go.
And then it starts out with replacing this for $12. That's not it. Here we go. Oh, no. I think you might need this for $300. That doesn't work. You're going to have to get this for three. Whoever put this stuff in, put in the highest.
Yeah, that stuff was the best stuff in the world.
High-end 20-year-old
stuff.
Yeah.
If they do have it, it's a little older model.
Everybody else is $30 for a flame sensor. Mine was $300.
Right. Tommy, you know, some people collect classic cars. Tommy's collecting classic housewares.
Some of my Escalade, too. Anytime something... Hey, your cigarette lighter fell out. That's $7,000 to put it back
in. Tom, we don't have that one in stock. Where's it at?
You have to go to the dealership to get that tire.
Somewhere in Zimbabwe we can get one.
My tire did go... Wait.
That's the best one.
How about that one?
And now it's rubbing off on me. That's the problem I got now. But tell them your tire story. That's the greatest of all time.
I finally got out of the basement. I got a new tire. It rolled in. I go, I'll put that on a day or two. I'm driving out, going to Sheets. I'm on my way to pick up a few parts and stuff for the... And I can't look down. Oh, my gosh, my tire's flat. I'm trying to pump it up at the pump. It's going right out the back. I drove it on the rim to Monroe Tire.
I felt terrible. He texted me, Jimmy, you got AAA. I guess, and I'm like, Tommy, are you kidding me? And we just got done talking about the tires. So then, you know, Tommy gets all his stuff. We're 90% done. And I kind of hold myself to a standard.
But you know what's funny about it? You get hit so many times, you get like numb. I didn't even like fall apart. Oh yeah, flat tire. Oh well, here we go.
You look like Tommy Morrison against Ray Mercer. You're just flailing at the air.
And then my friend Doug Emmerine, he had an 18 car pile up on 680,
and he couldn't tell you.
He couldn't help me. So I just take a chance on this Monroe. How about this guy? And I have to give him a shout out.
We got to give him some ad space. RJ at Monroe. What a dude.
Now think about this. This is the thing God does to me. Get hit in the back of the head, but then he helps me. If I just settle down, he comes through every time. But originally when something happens, I don't handle it very well.
No.
There you go.
No, you're exaggerating.
So there we are, and he goes, oh, that size tire is so rare. There's no chance we're going to... I don't know what to do. We'll try to glue it, put some... I go, really? I don't know if that's going to work. I'm sitting there. It's up on the rack. How about a rental car, Enterprise rental car, wanted to change out its Jeep tires? It's the exact size as mine while I'm sitting there.
He gets a Utah. And look, he went
It on for nothing. I save like a nightmare. It's almost brand new because rental car companies, they don't mess around. They said he throws it on, doesn't want any money. I, of course, gave him money. I said, I might need you again. And one time, you know, I might need you again. But I had to give him that shout out because that took a $500-$600 day and made it into a...
Oh.
So I could hurry up and get back home to the furnace.
I'm Dandy Don Meredith with Howard Cosell in the press box listening to the play-by-play. He's texting me.
It doesn't end either. At 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, somebody's there. We did get people over there, though, didn't we?
We did.
All right, enough of that.
Well, wait a minute. I have to finish my end of
this. Oh, that's right. You ended up
rubbing off on. So then I'm sitting there, and obviously, like Tommy and I are, you know, dear friends, brothers in arms, sometimes opposite personalities. So then, yeah, after he has sometimes. All this week... I get up in the morning, I'm in a rush, I'm not in a rush, but I got to get somewhere. I'm sitting, I come out of the shower, and I pride myself to being somewhat graceful as a human being. I don't do clumsy things. Lo and behold, I come out of the shower, I'm coming through the basement, hit the tile floor. I go airborne. And I end up trying to catch myself. I'm over by the water heater in the basement.
Water heater.
Try to grab the water heater, bang my shoulder, cut my hand on the rotor. I'm sitting there bleeding, and I'm trying to get across this wet tile floor. I might as well have been a break dancer in New York. I couldn't get up. And there's somebody waiting. Oh, I think the way the moon's running, the weather, whatever you want to blame.
And I think I tried to get a hold of you during that.
Yep, and then I'm going, Tommy. Oh, and Tommy's going, hey, you're not going to respond. You know, he's like, hey, are you okay?
No,
you
must be busy. Okay.
You must be busy, or you got
doing
something going.
Doing something really
giving me a,
cool.
Giving me a little bit of a time going, hey, you left me out all the fun stuff because obviously you're not reaching me. And I said, Tommy, I slipped my hand wide open. I got to go get it looked at. And he's like,
okay.
He goes, okay, I'm sorry.
Thanks,
but anyways,
Jim.
Now that we've got all our complaining out for probably the length
Until
of the
next
series
week.
Of the show, now we are going to get on to the world of sports.
Okay. Well, we had to lighten that. Everybody, you know what I always say?
Tommy goes first today.
Motivational speaker, Carl. I'm a motivational speaker because by the time I'm done, you'll feel a lot better about yourself. That's my motivational speaker. Right?
Yeah, I could tell.
When I'm done,
I got
everybody
it.
Goes, whew, wow, honey, I love you.
We are having open mic today. We did not bring any guests just because we figured the amount of entertainment that we could create from and the calamity that has been our week. Would entertain most people anyway.
Well,
so. Speaking
of, you know what?
Calamity.
I did look at some things, and I know everyone knows about the. But I did want to tell you this, and I was going to say this last time, but we got. But you know, just so everyone understands, what you're up against as a high school athlete. Well, I only did baseball and softball. Only 1% of high school graduates. Go on to Division I baseball
that
or
sign contracts, yeah. Now, especially in this market, yeah.
Okay. 0.3, if no all-season development. So the odds go way down when you're not hooked up to a development or an all-season workout.
And fans, friends of ours, this is not... Tommy didn't open a book in college. He was that smart. So what you're talking about is a grown man now... that through the power of the radio podcast world, Tommy is now studying. So you have to know. He's going to come in with factual information. He's not just going to go, oh, I saw this on X or I saw this on TikTok. No. He is going home and doing homework. Tommy has not gone and done homework probably since he was in like second grade. So this is a highly motivated bunch of calculations here.
Until I went to the sixth floor of the Kent State Library and started crying because I finally wasn't getting it without... I didn't know how to study at that point. So I was up there going, what the heck do I do?
That's what I'm saying.
This physics class, it wasn't as easy as before, so I was up there like, oh my God, I don't even know how to study. But anyways, only 16.4 Division I players. Now, after they get there, only 16.4 are actually drafted into the major leagues. at all.
Total college scholarships now. And we're not trying to negate anybody on this. In today's market, one out of six, you are, if you go and you get a scholarship of any level, junior college, 3-2, NAI, whatever, you are 1 out of 16 of the kids playing.
Yep.
And those 1 out of 16, now everybody goes, well, it's not really worth it. It's way worth it. Because if you talk to anybody that's been a competitive athlete, it's giving them a leg up on the key word, compete. Our kids today do not know how to compete. They don't know, okay, I'm the fourth guy. I want to be the first guy. If Tom Brady was a teenager today, he would have never. As soon as he got to Michigan, he was a sixth-string quarterback. I quit, and we would have been cheated out of a Hall of Fame career full of excellence. And that's what I mean is, it's not gonna be handed to you. And we're able to help. We'll do anything to help. And Tommy, yeah. We were just talking one day, and he goes, "I want to look this up." He goes, "Without," he goes, "now." And Tommy's a little partial to me with training and everything. But bottom line of thing. If you wake up out of bed and you're that good that you can get a college scholarship never working on it, God bless you. It's not going to stay that way. So, sorry right. to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's true. And it also, that 16.4 is made, 12% of that are players that continually develop. So yep. It goes to 4% of the people just going to sit there, do nothing, and not help their skills in any way off season and during the season.
I did a tryout for a team. Like, teams will have me come in, and they try to take the term daddy ball out of it. So they'll have coaches, and they'll have me and a couple members of my staff that are professional baseball people. And we'll run the workouts, and then we'll give our recommendations. Like, this kid can do this. What do you see long-term with us? And I had a guy I hadn't seen in about 3 or 4 years, and he had a 10-year-old team. And he came to me and goes, "Hey, well, you run the trial." We did. Doug McGlynn, my partner in crime, and my late great buddy Pat, who passed away over the winter. We all went. We ran this workout, and there were kids there. And now here, these kids are 14 now, and we wrote reports like we would, scouting. Just, and God bless, it was on 10-year-old kids. Guy stopped and see me. He goes, "Hey, I want to show you something." He goes, "You predicted where all 11 of these kids would go based on the makeup they had when they were younger." And I said, "Yeah." He goes, he showed and he had them all noted out. And he goes, "You didn't miss on one." He goes, "You said this kid would do this. You said this kid would leave and do this. You said this kid would bounce after our team, would bounce from team to team to team to team." And what it was is an avoidance, whether it be by parents or by the player or by the parents and the player, that they don't want to do what they're bad at. If your kid's bad in math in school, he's not going to pass a grade.
They don't want to do it.
They want to blame a principal. They want to blame a teacher. They want to blame a tutor, whatever. Instead of getting after it. I was that way. I just said I was bad at math all through school. Then I figured out when I was later, I just needed to put math in a format. Like, I understand English and history. But that's the thing today is, you look at, but the other thing, too, is baseball is going to the fastest get there fast. They still have a park. They have a pocket there for development. But, like, you look at Skeens. Skeens was a done deal in college. Boom, boom, boom. Goes to the Pirates. He is what he is. You don't see, like, Ramirez. Ramirez couldn't catch the flu when the Indians got him in the lower leagues. But he could always hit. Woke up out of bed, could hit. But then he developed the rest of his game.
Oh, he sure did.
There's still guys out there that try to do that. And you hope. But
what do you think the average career length is for a Major League Baseball?
3 to 4 years now.
The average is 5 years.
Yep, 3 to 4 to 5. Okay, I was off a year.
Yep.
Last one I heard somebody, he's one of the modern day guys, and they were talking about in the big leagues, staying in the
right.
big leagues.
Yeah, not the minors.
They're saying five. I'd heard 3 to 4. Yep. And like I said, if you get there, you're one of 25, you're one of 750. I mean, you're awfully. You get a 4A guy like Chape was. He bounced, and he was up for a year or two, and then circumstances. But
well, think about the think
how good they are.
Think about
the Jack.
Pressure. Now, I got to play in front of a lot of fans. You're only talking about maybe a couple thousand fans.
Yep.
Okay.
We played
now,
some games. When we
and I wasn't getting paid. Now, think about this. You just got yourself to the pinnacle of what you've been working for, and now you're there, and guess what? You got to now try to stay there.
Yeah.
The
How are you going to separate yourself?
And mental of that has got to be unbelievable. To just, okay, now I'm up here. Now you're going to start pressing. What are you going to do? I mean, and you're not making it happen because you only get to play here and there, maybe a pinch hit. Maybe you play as a utility guy and you're not getting it done, and all of a sudden they kick you back down. That's a lot of pressure.
What's your stock worth? You know, I say, and it's, you dehumanize it, but you look at a lot of these guys in the big leagues today. Is their stock going up, going down? Has it gone to zero?
I'll give you a name. How about Morgan Ensberg?
Oh, geez, dude. Yeah, he had come had a couple up like of years. Gangbusters,
45 home run. Soon as they figured out what he couldn't hit.
What he couldn't hit. Then he moved around.
Gone, done, out.
Kevin Moss.
Oh.
There's one for you. Comes up. I think he played in 5 big league games. He had 12 home runs. He was a Yankee superstar. Never got near it again. They were gonna trade Mattingly because of him.
Pagliarulo is another one.
Mike Pagliarulo. Oh God.
Pete Incaviglia was the Yankees. As soon as they figured out, man.
But that's the part, you know, Jared Wright. I mean, we could go through stories.
Corey Snyder.
Oh yeah.
How about him?
He's playing professional softball now.
Rookie of the year and
absolute cannon, all the tools.
Yep.
I've gone to cover a Sports Illustrated. Him and Joe Carter. They're going to be in that. You remember they said they're going to win the division that year. I think it was late 80s, early 90s. Yeah.
You can even go to like Nate Colbert. Nate Colbert was a solidified home run hitter. Then all of a sudden,
kaboom,
he's batting one. And back then, you weren't getting away with batting 220. As I don't care, unless you were a shortstop, Mark Belanger, Frank Duffy.
Mario Mendoza.
Yeah, you are not getting away with a 218 with a million strikeouts.
Jack Brohammer.
Yeah, but they just didn't do it then. Now there's a host of people batting 220,
I'm going to get Tommy to fall out of his chair. Tom Verizer.
Yeah, Tom Verizer.
There's a guy. And here was a kick. Probably, I think, 4 out of those 5 played for the Indians.
Indians had a lot of those.
Remember, they had a lot of Dwayne Kuiper, 1 home run in his whole career.
Ed Farmer, blazing fastball that everyone
sent. Couldn't hit the broad
side of a barn. For the fans.
He was buddies with Jack. Him and Jack played together for a while. Notice how the guys that could throw it hard but couldn't hit the broad side of a barn ended up buddies.
Well, you know what else is very unfortunate?
Here it comes. Tommy's been on this.
What
this has been a homework study.
What we are seeing in the gambling world. Now, as I'm watching the games, they are giving you bets to take.
They're sponsored by gambling. That's what kills me.
They're actually sponsored by it.
You're throwing guys out of baseball, and you've got firms that are basically starter sets to gambling. And they're one of the biggest sponsors of major. Talk about hypocrites. So you're gonna throw, and I'm not, whatever Pete Rose did. Okay? But you go back, Ty Cobb killed a guy. Mickey Cochran, I think, accidentally killed somebody. It was terrible. And these guys were first-round Hall of Famers. You know.
Doc Gooden, let's see, how many times was he thrown in prison?
He hasn't gotten in yet. But, he, you know, for what he did on a baseball field, you have to decide, is it the makeup of the person? But now we're going to get on about this gambling thing. And for those that don't know, it's kind of run rampant. We haven't heard a lot in football. But Chauncey Billups with the card games, the fixed card games in Vegas, and the one kid that's involved is originally from Campbell. Was it Rozier? He's originally from our neck of the
world. Yeah, that's right, Rozier.
Chauncey Billups got a great NBA career, and you have to ask yourself: these guys have all the, you know, they do well. Clause is going to make millions over.
Yeah, but they were doing it for their Dominican, I think, poor friends or something. I think that's what they were doing. They were like, yeah, but no, he was running money. So I don't, I can't even.
There's been so many stories. It's hard, unless you work in the investigative division of Major League Baseball, which they have. They have their own detectives. They have their own, I don't want to say police force, but people that do what they do.
And I'm just also curious, because I brought this up on Ron Verb's show. all this property tax, all these problems with these levies that everybody keeps voting for, why we go with less. Apparently nobody else has to do that when you're working for the taxpayer. Why, with all of this lottery and gambling money,
where's it going?
All that money, why isn't that money going to all this stuff?
Right. Why are people short?
Right.
Why are people short?
That's a those gambling agencies should be regulated, and their money should be given to each state as extra money. Something is terribly wrong here. I go past a lottery machine and see $7 million $30 scratch-offs laying in the trash can. Now, there's got to be zillions of dollars going through there, and we're talking about old people losing their homes because they can't pay the property taxes.
Exactly.
I'm missing something here.
Somewhere along the line, something's...
And
getting,
the only reason
something's
why those,
getting appropriated to somewhere.
Exactly. The only reason why those parlor games, if you remember them, they popped up everywhere. You play these games, online games, and you win prizes and money, and they were all over the place.
Carl, what's the one they do where they have it at the bar? What is it, Queen of Hearts?
There's Queen of Hearts. I know that Ohio Lottery has Keno.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of Hearts was...
And they used to have these...
There were some bars making...
When I was doing plazas with Kafaro, I put in said Lucky Sevens, you know, this parlor, the internet cafes, they called them. And the only reason those became a problem is because
it interfered
the
with
race tracks and stuff. It was all connected politically. And you're not going to get any money there, DeWine, unless you shut that down. Wow, that's really shocking how that works. So and now they're just regulating it, but obviously they're not regulating it. And because, I mean, some of these picks, does the guy tie his shoe in the third inning? I mean, I think they need to streamline this to really catch.
Can't play both sides of the street. You can't sit and take money from Gim. And listen, for you people that are living in a bubble, next to Vegas, I would sit and tell you probably Mahoning, Trumbull, Mercer. I mean, people gamble here, you know, whether they're going on a trip and on a junket or, you know, God bless, they're going
now
down.
Now you got housewives gambling.
Yeah, corner bars.
They got an app, and it's easy to do.
Yep, and that's the thing is now what you've done, much like the tobacco industry did when they started flavoring chewing tobacco, when it was peach and cherry and tasted like bubblegum.
But you know what else?
Younger
here?
Crowd.
In the old days, I'm going to reveal something. I was in church. I played the drums in the band, and then I'd sit in the audience, and guess what? Noon was coming around, and I had to call the bookie, and I had people waiting on me to give them the lines. So I actually took a Bible to the phone booth inside the church, opened it up with the bet slip in the middle. And then somebody walked by and go, yeah, that's David minus three, you know, they'll try to put it together with the scriptures.
Yep.
But because you didn't have, that's all you had. And if you missed the guy, your bets weren't getting in. Your friends are down $200-$300. Their bets aren't getting in. So that's how hard it was then. Now you could sit there, put it in during the church service.
Well,
and you look at now,
things that have become monetized. You know, guys that get suspended for marijuana use when I was a kid, they get suspended. Not up until not that long ago. Now, it's legal. I think there's...
It's not really legal, though, is it?
Somewhat. I mean, but they don't... I don't think they can suspend them they used to.
I didn't know that.
I think there has to be a certain extent of usage. But, and then you look at this thing with gambling, with Class A, with the other kid, and we're betting on where they throw the pitch. Do they bounce it? Do they throw it over the catcher? I mean, I had a friend of mine, and Tommy knows him. I will never mention the name. Old friend of mine. And his family owned a restaurant and a bar. And he'd go every year to the Super Bowl. And the one year it was Buffalo, and I don't know what, one of the Buffalo Super Bowls. He dropped $50,000 on the flip of the coin.
$50,000.
And he lost. And like I said, you hear these stories of people, but that's what we're talking about now. And for people out there, you know, if you can reach out to Tommy on Facebook. You can reach out to me on Facebook and Instagram, and Tom's got Instagram. Give us your thoughts on that. Maybe we'll post it and see and do some percentages. But it's just amazing that now gambling is becoming much more acceptable and almost, if they could, no, get it like totally legalized.
Part of a fun day now. Ah, we went on a picnic. I bet a 14 parlay, and I picked up the kids. How'd your day go? I mean, it's really that intertwined now.
We had a kid two or three years ago at the building, 16-year-old kid. Sunday afternoon, we got practice. He's in there, da-da-da-da-da, and he runs over, gets his water, looks at his phone, and the phone goes flying across the room. I'm like, what the heck's the matter with you? He's grumpy the whole time. And now I'm sitting there thinking. He was betting hockey.
How the heck?
It's 16 years old. And he lost, and phone goes flying and breaks the phone. And I'm like, okay, that's like a grown adult response. Now we're integrating this into.
I lost a 16 parlay last night. Oregon State only won by 3, favored by 3.5.
And there's a point there where it's either a problem or it's recreation. A lot of people do it for recreation. A lot more people than that are a problem. Those problems roll over into, now you got guys betting on themselves, you know, and you have to look at it that they're investigating this stuff, but with Pete Rose, it was cut and dried, done, gone. Crazy
well,
time.
It just has there is a theme to this, and it is that you're losing gambling. Not gambling.
Yeah.
You have a problem losing. That's the only problem you have.
Competition problem.
Because if
Michael
you're winning,
Jordan.
You don't need the 1-800, I'm got a gambling problem number.
You have a losing problem.
Because if you do call it, you've got mental issues.
But no,
I just won $500,000. I'm so irritated at myself. I just can't stop gambling. That's never going to happen.
This is a little off the wall. Have either one of you ever seen High Lie? It's a Cuban, Florida, Latin American
the game
sport.
High Lie?
Yeah, like seen it played.
No.
And how it's kept scoring.
I haven't watched it, but I know what it is.
You go in the state
of
Florida.
It's like lacrosse kind, isn't it?
Yeah. You get those big long sticks. Yeah. It's an old Mayan game. Like you go in Florida, especially around Miami, that's the second most gambled on sport. And I don't even understand the rules.
God.
But like that, like you go in a city like that, and that's how much of gambling is affecting the sport. They had that Tim Donahue, the referee that was fixing games.
It's easy to fix.
And they were talking. They were talking to him about Billups and that, and they were. And he was giving some really good insights into, you know, with Chauncey Billups and guys wanting to go play cards with in Vegas with, you know, sports stars. And it's very jaded right now. It's going to be interesting. Hopefully, I hope the Indians can reach. I mean, obviously, they did okay without those two, thank goodness.
Clase's done then.
Oh, Clase.
I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think you can make it.
He may
it
be
back
pitching in Antarctica next year. Yeah. Who knows? And the other kid, so. But, yeah, we went off the cuff a little bit today because we've had a ton of guests.
Yeah, we'll give you a little bit of laugh here, a little bit there and there. And next week we'll get back to guests. And
Hopefully we didn't offend anybody. But we just, I said, we wanted to talk about this because it's become such a big prevalent hockey players, football players, basketball players, baseball players, you know, getting
just when you're out
in
there, people, don't chase your money.
Yep.
If you're a $10 better, continue to be a $10 better. Yeah. If you're a $100 better, you're a $100 better. Don't be a $10 better. Now you're down $300. Now you're firing $100
a game.
And
bet your mortgage.
You're going to lose.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's okay to go. And you want to go throw some coins in the slots up in Austin Town, up at the casino, great. But don't.
You scared find yourself, money never wins, yeah. Ever. Never.
And the house will always over time win. When you win, do win. Run. Take your money and run, without a doubt.
Well, last week I split on my games, and this week Nostra Thomas has two games, and here I go, talking about gambling. The Steelers -5 over the Bengals, and Minnesota -2.5 over the Bears. Those are Nostra Thomas picks, and I've gotten the word here from Carl that we are about done. So
I'm gonna throw out my ending lines. Hey, we want to tell everybody, obviously, if anybody's looking for baseball, right, softball, equipment. We just got our equipment shipment for the year. Great deals. Give us a call, especially if, you know, with the new tendency of colored gloves.
And they'll be on my Facebook page later on
and ours,
today.
Yeah, and ours, as we get ours developed, it'll be on there. But give us a call. Need any help? want to get lessons for your grandkids or nieces or nephews.
That's
or children,
a good Christmas gift. Give them the gift of achievement.
A little bit of grant money left out there. 330-766-6790. We want to thank all our friends. Had a lot of people coming up taking pictures, doing film.
Yeah, your friend Mike Case and and Lauren helping us out.
Helping us out marketing. It's been great. And couldn't ask for better partners in what we're doing. And especially our main man, Carl, here. Never gets enough credit. Never.
No, he does not. And he doesn't want it.
He's
different than me.
He's going to get it no matter what. So it doesn't matter. He could be a monk that doesn't talk. We're talking about it.
Hey, thanks, TG Perlene Asphalt. Dude, here I am talking about you again. Remember that. Gotcha. All your asphalt needs.
And we got, like I said, we've got some 422, Levy Steel, Gatta Construction. Our good friend Jesse DiGiacomo, who owns the space that our business is run out at Howland Performance in the Den. The one guy that keeps me and the guys that keep me and Tommy in good standing in the world, Zuzolo and Zuzolo.
Yes.
My dear friends Pete Roberto and Del Gray. KV Electric, who came through big
KV,
this week.
KV, thank
big
you.
Big this week.
RJ at Monroe, give him another shot.
There you go, good big job, RJ. Bro. Then Montrose Auto Group will be joining the flock here, the Sudas family. And our good friend Lee Manios at Franklin Healthcare, who's been a supporter for years. So thank you, everybody. Have a great afternoon, great week.